Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Ernie.
As you know, my name's Ernie, and I was named after my dad, which is a good blessing to me. I like my dad. He was a wonderful man, and I enjoyed that. But I hope you'll forgive me having to read my testimony. Fine. I'm getting a bit old now and can't remember things. So what I've done, I've wrote it down. I'm going to put that down. I hope you can still hear me. Can you still hear?
I'll hold it near you.
All right. I've had to write it down. Please forgive me. Here we go. My greatest... I have to put my glasses on. I couldn't see it. I wondered what had happened. My greatest downfall in life has been my failure to resist destructive habits and temptations. These have been collecting and hoarding worthless possessions which have now become a heavy burden to live with. Fortunately, I feel by divine intervention through the Holy Spirit of Jesus, I have been led into the companionship of some wonderful Christian people who are helping me to recover from my foolish ways. It is redeemed, but by redemption, I can become reformed. I now pray to Jesus, our Saviour and Redeemer, to keep me strong and steadfast in my willpower to overcome my downfall and to restore me to a new life free from habits and temptations. Recently, I have met two types of people. Those who are still learning and gaining knowledge and wisdom, and those who are still plodding on the way in life that leads to sorrow. Nearly finished. Therefore, I have decided to learn my lesson and resist the way of temptation as much as possible, to concentrate on looking after what I have already collected and feel I need, but discard what I feel I can do without and lead a better life that will lead to life's joy and comforts. Amen.
I love the fact that part of your testimony is on your betting slip. Are you having a bet? What are you doing here? Oh. I know, Eddie. You're all right. Buddy, why didn't you? Don't you worry. Thank you. Thank you. Mike. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. Let me know that he's got something to share. Come and join us at the front, Mike. Keep talking while you're coming up. It's all right. It's just good to hear people's stories, isn't it? And we know Ernie is on his journey, aren't you, Ernie? Come on, Mike. Can I give you that to speak into?
Who can follow that, then? I mean, when David said, was it last week, that I could have between 10 and 20 minutes? I've got a lot to say, but a little time to say it. I think the thing is that, as you know, some time ago, my wife passed away last year, and I was overwhelmed with grief, and I found that very difficult to get through. A short term time later, I then discovered... that I'd got advanced prostate cancer. The other thing that happened about the similar time was that I was affected by the fact that I'd have to, on my own, look after Mark and make sure that he gets, my son, that he gets the best that he can have and that I can do everything to sort of, I need to live longer than he does. So that's been my aim. I've benefited through, I mean, God's been in all of this, and he's kind of sort of helped me to accept these things. I've never accepted the loss of Leslie because I don't want to, really. But he's helped me to go through this and keep myself fit and work through it. Now, quite a few things happened on that journey. I've benefited for God showing me the real caring people to speak to and have that kind of sort of therapy. And now I find myself much better from that. I find that 12 months ago, I wouldn't have got up here. I wouldn't have said boo to a goose. I wouldn't have done anything that was anybody wanted to do. And in a way, that's a kind of miracle in itself. And I feel that God has been with me so much and so many days. During my cancer treatment, I went to a group of men in the hospital in Maggie's, a men's group, and I met these men. And I suddenly realized that there's a lot of people with so much more problems, that they're heroes in themselves. The way that they dealt with their diagnosis of much worse cancers than me. Tomorrow I'm going to a funeral of one of the guys who lasted only a couple of days after I spoke to him. But his life was brilliant. You know, he was a real cheerful Irishman. You know, we'll all miss him. But it's also become the fact that I can witness to people in that group. I can, I love each one of them and I pray for each one of them. And I can just, you know, be the person I am and try to help them to understand why I'm a Christian through my experiences. That has taught me one thing, and that's don't talk about living each day as it is, but no, I live each in the moment. I get up in the morning, I think something about God. I often read my verse of the day, and one of the reasons I'm here is because my verse of the day last week was 1 Peter 3:15. Write it down, it's a good one, honest. It's and that sort of said to me, well, this is what you should be saying something. So, okay, I'm here, I'm doing it, but I'm doing this. But from then, I kind of look at each day, and I go out and say, well, what do you want me to do? And you know, you get them synchronicities of meeting people, being in the right place, making, you know, and I get this all the time. Like, I could tell you a million stories about the things that have happened to me since. It's not me. It's just the fact I can rely on God each day, every minute. And I really think that's probably all I need to say. I'll keep it short. Anyway, thank you for listening to an old codger.
And I know that's one of Mike's favourite verses, and I know that because it's one of my favourite verses in the Bible, and 1 Peter 3:15 says, I will always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. If we have a hope in Jesus, we should always be prepared wherever we are to share that, to, you know, whether when God might ask us somewhere, when we're, like I say, in a group, like Mike says, or in our neighbours, or in our workplace, are we prepared? That if the opportunity comes, that we might share something of the hope that we have found in Christ with those around us. It's such a powerful verse. So thanks for sharing that, Mike. Pat, I think Pat's got something to share for us today.
Morning, everybody. I'll just tell you, it's from, this is how this is coming about. It's from Matthew 6, verse 10. And your kingdom come, the Lord's kingdom come, and God's purpose for in our lives and everybody else's life. Recently, over the last month, we've been sorting out some carpets for a family that was so, so downtrodden, this family. We had a language barrier because he couldn't understand English. I couldn't understand what he was saying. the social workers, unfortunately, so busy, couldn't be there to help us. We needed to empty his house so we could have all these carpets all the way through the house, which a carpet company had donated. So we're there and we're using knives trying to get these grippers up, and we're trying to get bits of carpets up. The carpets were so, you could, they stuck to your feet. This family was so low and so down. But this is where God steps in. But the carpet company said they couldn't move any furniture. So we did everything we could to do it. Everybody was doing everything. And our church were donating things, bedding for these families because they didn't have it. And we gets in there, and on the day of the carpet, 8:30, I'm there waiting. Gets in the house, and horror, because I thought, oh, there's still a table there. There's still a big glass dining room table, what he'd had donated, and a telly. And it was, this gentleman was so down. You could see his face in his eyes. He was so broken. He'd given up. He really had given up. So I said, oh, and I'm trying to explain to him, we've got to get this table out. So we're trying to, he's at one end of it, and this gentleman's poorly as well, he's very poorly. He's at one end, I'm at the other end, and, you know, first thing comes to mind with Chuckle Brothers, you're like trying to do it this way. We couldn't lift it, it was really heavy. So we just put it gently, you know, tried to leave it on the thing. So my first instinct was pray. So I just stood there, just started praying, Lord, we can't lift this, we need help. And as I'd finished, and I thank God for whatever's going to happen, I looked up and he was praying. Now, I don't know what he was praying, but the way God stepped in was amazing. Because to me, he was talking to his God. My God's bigger, by the way. And there is only one God. And I'm praying. And the next thing, we managed to get this glass table outside. Then the telly we couldn't lift. The settee we couldn't lift. The carpet fitters come. And my heart's going like this. I'm phoning everybody up. Can anybody come, please? Because we're not allowed to, you know, health and safety, I shouldn't have been in there anyway, and safeguarding. But I couldn't leave this man. I could not leave this family and this man so downtrodden. So we get it saying, and the carpet fitters come, and I just said to him, I'm really sorry, but we can't get all the grippers up. We've tried with the knives. The floor's a mess. We can't lift the telly, and I can't lift the settee. It's too heavy. And they're not supposed to do anything. These two guys just turn around. Now, I know God intervened. I know he was there. And he turned around, and these guys turned around, and they said, leave it to us. Just leave it to us. He said, don't do any more. We'll do it. We went in. I was backwards and forwards all day while they were doing it. But you could see his face, this guy's face. It was lighting up. And by the end of the day, when the new carpet's all the way through, and the smile on his face, and he had I still can see his face. He had like a glow in his eyes because his burden had been lifted. Now, that was our God who stepped in. It weren't me. It weren't the carpet fitters. It were God. And a week later, I was still like swimming and doing what we're doing. And I was saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I couldn't stop thanking God. Then I got a phone call from the social worker who'd come back. And she just said, this family, his lives are transformed. I don't know your... And this is... She's Asian, the social worker. She said, I don't know who your God is, but he worked that day, didn't he? And I just wanted to share that with everybody. Thank you.
And we continue to support the work of ACTS, particularly, and the many families that are being supported through that. And I know a lot of people give and make contributions, and just thank you, because a lot of people just do it quietly. You know, I bought a bag of this. This is a pier. This is that, and they're not sort of doing it for themselves. They're just doing it because they know it's a good thing, a God thing to do. So, thank you for all those that continue to support the work, particularly that Pat does through ACTS and others as well. Michael, you said you had something to share today. So come and share something for with us.
This is my story of how I come to find my faith in God. When I was 4 and 5 years old, my mother used to say to me about a guy in the sky called God, and he could see everything that I did, and if I was good, he'd reward me. But she also told me about another guy called the devil, and if I was naughty, I'd go and burn in hell. Well, I didn't want to meet him. Anyway, let's jump on a couple of years to when I was 7. And the village that I lived in, there was a shop. It mainly sold white goods like washing machines, vacuum cleaners, but it also sold toys. And in the shop window, there was a chopper bike. Everybody wanted a chopper bike at seven. And I decided one day I'd go down to the shop and have a look at this chopper bike in the window. And it was, I remember the day, I had to walk down the quiet lane, Charles Lane, and then there was a main road that I had to cross over to the shop. And as I, just before I got to where I was crossing the road, I remember stepping off the pavement and all of a sudden my life went blank. I don't remember what happened to me in the next however long it was. But when I come round, I was in the middle of the road, covered in blood, and I was like 200 yards away from where I was started to cross the road. I'd been hit by an hit and run driver, and when I come round, there an ambulance already there. I was absolutely covered in blood, and these two ambulance guys were working on my body, right, quite frantically, and I just went, I want to stand up. And these ambulance guys were, whoa, don't stand up, you've been run over. And I stood up. And then what they did, because I was covered in blood, I was outside a butcher's shop. And they took me into the butcher's and put me on the butcher's block. And stripped me naked in the butcher's shop. I was more upset about being stripped naked in a butcher's shop at 7 years old than being run over. But I sort of like made me think, I think I should have been dead. And who saved me? It was God. Or I like to believe that anyway. So I started to attend church. I went to church till I was about 12 years old, and I then become a bit of a rebellious teenager, and I stopped going to church. But I never lost my faith in God. I had my own Bible. I've still got the same Bible from being 12 years old. But I never turned my back on my faith in God, and I always prayed to God. And I've come back to thank God, you know, for my life, and I've always been grateful for my life. I believe that God saved me that day. He brought me back. I think I should have been dead. I don't know how long I was out for, but and I've always been grateful for my life. I have had tragedies in my life as well. Yesterday was the anniversary of my wife passing from 16 years ago, but I loved every minute of being with my wife, and I thank God for that as well. But that's my belief in God. We're all different, but thank you, God.
We've all got a different story, haven't we, to tell, but it's all, every one of them's worth telling. Jenny, you said you had something to share, a little bit of a story, something that happened to you.
Hiya. I think I'm standing here under false pretenses actually this morning, because the only reason I'm standing here is because David said my list is ever so short. So I said, well, I can share a really quickie if you want, and it is a quickie, but I think that my experience a few weeks ago, lots of you have done the same thing or have had similar experiences. And that's why I'm standing here, just because I want to encourage you. I know there's lots of people who use their faith in their everyday lives. So my story is, a few weeks ago, I was in the doctor's surgery, just for routine, nothing dramatic. I think that's the other thing I wanted to say. Sometimes when David says testimony service, you think you've got to have big, big stories. Well, we don't, because I think we've got testimonies every day, lots of us. So I was in the doctor's surgery, quite quiet, waiting. And a young lady came in, and she was obviously very upset. She'd been talking to the receptionist for quite a while. and so when she sat down, you know when God whispers to you, or he gives you that urge? Well, I got up and I went over to her and I said, are you all right? And out came this great story. She was absolutely heartbroken. She was really upset because she was very pregnant. I think it's due in November, I think. And she was really struggling to get to a midwife. She said, I've been on the phone, I've been here. She wasn't even from Chadderton. I don't know where she'd come from. And again, you get the prompt. I said, do you want me to pray with you? I said, I'm a Christian. Would you like me to pray with you? And she said, oh, yeah, please. So I did. Now, nobody in that surgery would know what I was doing because I don't close my eyes. And it was just as though I was carrying on a normal conversation. But I know that God was in that conversation, that prayer. I know he was. I don't know what's happened to that lady. I've got her name in my head, and I keep praying for her. But I know that whatever happened on that few minutes, only a couple of minutes, I know that really helped that lady. And that, to me, is God at work in my everyday life. And in yours as well, because I know that lots of you, sometimes you share stuff with me, and I know that lots of you have similar experiences. So testimonies aren't always huge. They can be little things that you do or say every day. So praise be to God.
Thanks, Jenny. It's that sense again, always be prepared, because you just never know when that little opportunity might come for God to say, hey, could you just encourage this person? Could you just pray for this person? Could you just be my witness here? Could you just offer something of my goodness into the situation? Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Godfrey, I think Godfrey's going to come out and share just a little bit, particularly what happened to Favour recently. Are you both coming? Come on, they're both coming. You might know.
Thank you so much. Praise God. We also wrote it down here so that we don't give testimonies for the last 30 years, but let's begin from what we can remember. We just wanted, she has been my friend and my wife for the last 20 years. So we just wanted to thank God to testify. We stand here as parents to thank God for the life of our son, Favour. Last June, he went through a very difficult time. He was hospitalized and even admitted to ICU. Those were very heavy days for us as parents, watching our child in pain, not knowing what tomorrow would bring. But today we stand and declare, like Samuel, that Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has brought us. We have seen God's hand carrying Favour through every hospital visit, every doctor's appointment, and every taste. The same God who was with Daniel in the lion's den, the same God who walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is in the fiery furnace, has been with our boy. The fire burned but did not consume him. The lions were present but could not devour him. Truly God has been faithful. We also thank him for provision, for the doctors, for medicine, for transport, and for all practical needs that he supplied. And we cannot forget the power of prayer. We cannot forget to thank Pastor David and his wife and all the brothers and sisters in Christ in our communities back home in Uganda and here. We also want to thank God for our children, Ime, Abby, Jeho, and Emma, who stood faithfully with us. When the Bible says the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you, Deuteronomy 31:6, we can testify that we have seen this with our own eyes. Our testimony today is simple. Favor's very name is a prophecy. He is walking in God's favor. And what the Lord has begun in his life, he'll surely bring to completion. Glory and honor be to God.
And it's lovely to see Favor here this morning joining us, or now next door, having some fun with the young people. So that's my list, all right? We're going to sing. We're going to sing I Speak the Name of Jesus, which...
A long time ago, I was driving my truck on the road to Hull, and I blacked out. But I was a sinner. But I blacked out and I wake up a Christian, and that's all. Yeah. Thank you.
God used that situation, didn't he, to bring you to him, which is encouraging. Amen. Ian, you want to share something?
Oh, yeah. Well, this comes in two parts. Well, 18 years ago, we came up here to babysit for our newborn granddaughter. And during that night, I had a massive seizure, and it ended up in Oldham Hospital. We went back home, which is down south, as you probably can tell, and I had a series of tests, including an MRI, and during that time they discovered a brain tumour. I'd seen a doctor at the hospital down south, and by the way he was talking, ought to be measuring up for my coffin. My son-in-law at the time said, "Oh, come up here, there's a beautiful hospital and they can help you. They've got very many experimental programs." I can thank God that I'm here now, 18 years with this tumour. The tumour hasn't grown. I can thank God also for the people that have prayed for me and laid hands on me and anointed me. And it's just a miracle that I'm still here. Amen.
I'd just like to add a tiny bit. This is Pam, Ian's wife. We came in the door today after 6 weeks of not being able to be here because once again, Ian had broken something. His leg and ankle. And Jenny asked me if I was okay, and I said I was fed up. Because I was fed up. Because we've had 52 years with Ian having something. You know, not just the brain tumour. We haven't got all day, and it's too boring anyway. But this latest thing, I thought, oh, just not again, taken out for the whole summer. But... I'm not fed up now because God's given me an injection of his love again, and all of you, and the beautiful worship. And we've met a few people that we wouldn't have met, medics, ASDA delivery men, you name it, nurses, OTs, while he's been out of action this latest time. And even last Wednesday, when we were going to the ICC, when the wheel snapped off his wheelchair in the middle of the road, an amazing Asian taxi driver rescued him. And also when we got inside, an imam as well, and loads of other people came round to help get him from one wheelchair to the hospital one. And God just been providing all along and using all sorts of people because he made them, didn't he? And he loveth them and he uses them, and we were blessed to be rescued like that, and we just want to give him the glory.
Did you want to come up? Yeah, come on. Do you want to come up? It might be easy if you can. Thank you.
To most of you, I'm a stranger. I have been on occasions with my brother and sister-in-law, but this church has been a great comfort to me and has been part of the way that God has supported me over the last 12 months. Almost exactly 12 months ago, my husband was also diagnosed with a brain tumour. And the type of brain tumour that he has, 75% of people would not make 12 months. And we've just had 12 months. So that in itself, praise God. But one of the things that's just been really laid on my heart this morning, and it's funny that I happened to be here on this testimony morning, so I felt like I had to come forward and share this with you. When Harvey was diagnosed with a brain tumour, we never really said, why him? Because why not him? You know, cancer comes to lots of people. Why should we be any different? So we never prayed that prayer. But we did question the timing, because he'd only just moved to a new church, and he's a vicar. And we'd only been in that church for 4 or 5 months when this diagnosis came. And he'd been absolutely convinced that God had called him to that church. And so the question wasn't why me, but it was why now? We haven't done anything yet. We've only just arrived. We're just here, just going to get started. And now this. A few months into everything, we received an envelope that had been passed on to us from a person who we didn't know. And, of course, the people in the church didn't really know us, because we hadn't really got a chance to get to know people very well. But throughout Harvey's 25 year of ministry, he's often used an image of riding the waves, looking for where God wants the church to go, catching the right wave, and then going with that wave. And we suddenly got this envelope come through the post from somebody we didn't know. And it was a drawing of Harvey on a surfboard riding a wave. And it just meant the absolute world to us, because it spoke volumes. And it's a little bit like Job. We didn't get an answer, why now? But we're riding the wave, and we've got the picture up on display where we see it every single day. And we don't always know, you know, why. We don't always know God's reasoning. We're not blaming God in any way, but we're just riding this wave and seeing where it takes us. But what I was wanting to encourage you, the lady that was saying earlier on, that every day we're doing things, we're saying things, and we don't always realise the impact that we're having. And this lady that just sat down and drew this picture, she had no idea what that phrase and what that image had meant to Harvey for the last 25 years. And there's no other explanation but God. So thank you, God.
Chance for just a couple more. Stephen and Jamie, I want to just say.
I have one. Just to let you know, about 6 months ago, I was at a certain point in my life where I was at a point where basically I was not in a great place. I was having to deal with a lot of problems and stuff like that, where my life was being made, being dragged down. And I had to make a decision to, like, I had to make a decision to sort of, like, leave my job and to start afresh. Because basically, every day I was coming back and I just wasn't feeling myself. And then in June this year, I lost my dad. He was 64. He'd been recovering at the Lighthouse care home in Manchester. And he was doing great. He'd come off the alcohol. He was sort of doing football, like, he was doing, like, five-a-side football with people there and stuff, and it was really good seeing him as he was. And then on the 3rd of June, I got a phone call off the Lighthouse to let me know that he passed away in the night. And then a month after, on the 3rd of July, I lost my uncle, George. Such a great guy he was. Yeah, don't get me wrong, there's times where people used to, oh, is this, is that, and stuff, but the main thing was he was one of the nicest, genuine people you could always meet. And he always made you laugh no matter what. And during that time, it's like, I've been believing ever since I was younger. But this last 6 months, it's just made me realise that if it wasn't for God and that, I would probably be in a really bad place right now. And that's one of the main reasons why I've got through this last couple of months, because I know for a fact that they're both up there now and they're both at peace. And this is one of the reasons why I had to come and do this testament today. It's just because of how I've been feeling, really, and like my life is now starting to get on the better now, and it's starting to feel a lot better now and moving forward.
Okay, Jamie, just one more.
Two years ago, I used to sing in a band. I used to come to church, hiding the fact that I was an alcoholic. I was broken. I was in a mess. I'm not going to say too much about it because I don't want to give the devil any credence. I decided on that day to share with you that I was. That was nearly 2 years ago. No, 20 months ago. I'm 20 months sober. Throughout that time, and once I've been sober, I've been home, and there's been lots of things that I had to deal with because it was new. I couldn't go and drink anymore to get rid of all the things that happened in the day. I've been trying to fight people, and like I was in a right bad place. And then one day, somebody who I deeply care about, a fellow Christian, we had an argument, and I'd upset them. And I went home, and I thought, my goodness, what kind of man do you want to be, Jamie? Because I had a choice. I could carry on being the person that I was, being angry, and everything that had happened to me, I could let go of it and ask God to clean it and to make me new. So I was somebody that had all the knowledge. I had all the knowledge about God, but I didn't use it. It wasn't much good to me. So the past 6 months, what I've done is I've put my faith into action. I've decided that I want to be the guy that God wants me to be. It's not easy. It's hard. But I wasn't going to speak, but I speak Jesus. That song, I was in my darkest, spoke to me. So I'm speaking Jesus right now. If anybody's got addiction, anything they're doing that's dark and dangerous and brings shame or any of those things, that is not from you, that is from the devil. And you can get rid of that if you walk with God and ask him to hold your hand, because he did me. So thanks very much.
Some real encouraging testimonies. And you know, I hope it's encouraged you, just that sense of what God is doing in everyone's lives. And I hope we've all got some testimony somewhere. And if we haven't got one today, we'll ask God that he'll give us a testimony for tomorrow or the day after. And, you know, they're all different, aren't they? And I just I want to encourage you to keep going and to keep, you know, just to keep pushing into God and letting God use you in what he's doing. We're going to sing I Thank God. Okay, go on, quick.
I've got to go back just over a year. My husband was very, very poorly in hospital and was on, well, we thought he was going to die. And at the time, he wasn't a Christian. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if you need, it's time for him to go, then take him, but please don't take him unless he's going to be with you. And there were people praying alongside me. And I got a peace that could only come from God. And then he improved and he came home. And I thought, oh, the peace is because he wasn't going to die then. But a year later, we were back in that place and he was on end of life care. And this time he did die. And after he died, he wanted to die at home. He was very unhappy in hospital. He was only in less than a week, but he wasn't being looked after. And I brought him home. He was only home for 40 minutes before he passed away. But he was at home. He knew he was at home. He was with the people who loved him most. And he was at peace. He'd been very agitated. And he was at peace. And all the time, that 40 minutes, I sat next to him, holding his hand and telling him to call on Jesus. And that since he died, I've had such a peace. And that peace can only come from God. And I know that he is with the Lord. And that peace, I've struggled, I admit I've struggled, but I know he's with the Lord because that peace is still with me. And I just want to thank God and give him glory because he's taken him to be with him and he's answered my prayer. And he answered Glenn's prayer that he came home to die. Thank you, Lord.
Shall we stand and sing? I thank God.